वाद्यगणं गुण बलितदिगन्तं अनुनृत्यति मदलोल
गोपाल चांपु उत्तराखंड चैप्टर 8 लर्निंग द 64 सब्जेक्ट्स In Nanda's assembly with Krishna present, Madhukanta began the morning session. Receiving the letter from Raja, Krishna and Balaram heard the news and were relieved of worry. Since childhood, the two boys had not been trained. Seeing they did not know how to make requests properly to Devaki as a mother, Vasudeva conferred with his wife. The two, however, had regard for Rohini as their mother. Vasudeva sent a messenger to Sananda and Nandana. Taking the letter, the messenger went to Braja. Let the contents of the letter praising their qualities remain without being discussed. However, the following was in the letter. I did not think of it when you were leaving Mathura, but it is desirable that Rohini come here. Hearing that, Rohini became disturbed. I cannot ignore the order of my husband and cannot give up the desire to see Krishna Balaram. Oh, but how can I give up Yashoda? If the Creator would take each limb of my body and give it a separate life, I would be delivered. Seeing Rohini's disturbance, Yashoda spoke. I think the Creator has divided one body into you and me, but with only one life air. Therefore, we do not distinguish between the two sons. Ah, mother of Balaram, if I cannot go and see them by my bad luck, then you should quickly go there and bring me to life. The elder women counseled Yashoda with logical words. Then, finding an auspicious moment through astrologers filling carts with piles of ingredients, with regret they followed Rohini for a great distance and embraced her with choked throats. With difficulty, they left her while lamenting and returning home. Yashoda sent a variety of favorite foods and clothing for Krishna and Balaram. In a choked voice, she said, Please send the main pleasing news of the two boys and give this message to Devaki. O Devaki, everyone understands that we are non-different. That non-difference has manifested in Krishna. Thus, there is no difference if we both say, He is my son. Filled with great pain on remembering Braj, my heart becomes disturbed. To dissipate that sorrow, it is not necessary to carry on elaborate discussions. Leaving the topic, Madhukanta then spoke in conclusion. O Nanda, this topic should not be spoken. It would be spoken if I do not see your son in your lap now. When all became happy, Snigdhakanta asked, Then what happened? Please describe this. Madhukanta said, When Rohini arrived in Mathura, Balaram and Krishna offered respects and met her. Yashoda appeared there vividly. She appeared in the mind of not only the two sons, but in the mind of Rohini as well. The conduct of prema is beyond intelligence. See its astonishing nature. Ah, when Krishna fell at Rohini's feet, Yashoda appeared in his heart. He cried, and Rohini in the same mood cried like an osprey. After Krishna, with tears, heard of Yashoda's actions on the day before separation, Balaram inquired from Rohini, and she revealed the non-difference of herself and Yashoda. On another day, when Rohini met her co-wives along with Vasudev, she spoke while understanding that they did not want to hear about Krishna in Braj. Affection personified in this universe is Krishna in Braj. It is also strongly evident in Yashoda there. If Krishna is your son, what fault is there for Braj, that is, and also claiming him as their son? When Vasudeva and Devaki, not wanting to hear this, remained silent, other women laughing said, O Rohini, you are greedy for the yogurt and milk of the cowherds, therefore your words are not unsuitable. Hearing this and understanding their minds and feeling remorse for Yashoda, she remained silent. When Vasudeva was determined to have the sacred thread ceremony, Rohini did not propose bringing the people of Braj. Though Krishna and Balaram were eager for this ceremony, understanding that the Yadus were rather indifferent to the people of Braj in their minds and actions, and considering it would be painful for the Braj people, they decided not to invite them, though all citizens were invited. What is the use of our wanting to describe this event to them? But through Sudam, the garland maker, they had Nanda hear a sweet letter. O Father, tomorrow in the morning the Yadus will accept us as their sons by the sacred thread ceremony, showing us to be Kshatriyas. I will accept this external show as a Kshatriya, but internally I am still a coward. Ha! Previously I said that I would come to see you, my relatives. How can I, your son, do the opposite with my tongue? O Nanda, do not lament that you will not be present at the sacred thread ceremony. In Mathura, I hide my real nature for the benefit of your friends, the Yadus. Perform the Gayatri initiation ceremony for my Braja friends, who are my very form, and make my vow complete. Hearing this letter, Nanda, Upananda, and others began to think. From this letter combined with the previous advice, it seems that he is not indifferent to us. We have already thought that we should perform the ceremony, which is recommended for us Vaishyas. Therefore, we will perform the ceremony using his friends who are his representatives, who are one with him internally, but identify themselves otherwise externally. Snigdhakanta said, please describe the actions. Madhukanta said, when the ceremony for second birth was completed in both places, the two boys wanted to learn the four Vedas and their Angas. They decided they should follow the same process as others do. According to the ancient sages, one should study by going to the Gurukula. Though Vyasa and others of great stature would be suitable as gurus and are well known, they will think that we too already have all knowledge. Therefore, they will show some hesitation to be our guru. They are the highest Vaishnavas and have realized the Vaishnava philosophy. We should study, and that will be attractive. Though we have knowledge by our natures, it is best that we go to the Gurukula. If we break the rules, it will not be auspicious for the world. A person who is fixed in Brahman and worships Shiva would be the best guru. The great soul Sandipani Muni of a dynasty from Kashi is a worshipper of Shiva. He previously went to Prabhas and now lives in Avanti, a place emanating happiness and near to a Shiva temple. We should go there, but in such a way that others do not know. Otherwise, if it is widely known that we have gone far away, the enemies will give problems to the Yadus, and the people of Braj, from our father's family down to the paid servants, will give up their bodies. What to speak of your mother Yashoda, who displays the most intense pain to all people. After considering in this way, the two made a plan to inform the Yadus and fool all others. They decided to fool everyone by making a show, performing vows alone in their houses. Thus going far away secretly will prevent others from coming. Krishna spoke to Vasudeva, Devaki, and Rohini, who were filled with sorrow. If Balaram is with me, then 10 million people will come. If I am with Balaram, 100 million people will come. We derive unlimited power from your blessings. With those blessings, who in the three worlds can defeat us? Hearing this, Vasudeva and Devaki became relieved because of the boy's powers, but Rohini was full of grief. I will now describe their life in the Gurukula. On the path, Krishna saw some Brahmins wearing red cloth who knew his intentions. Seeing Krishna, they were eager to give him their begged food, but he did not accept. Since one should not accept a vehicle until Brahmachari life is finished, the two brothers accepted their own strength as their carriage, that is, they walked. Krishna, along with Balaram, saw many picturesque villages on the way. When they saw coward villages, they would stop there for the night and become stunned. Eventually, they arrived at Avanti. Though dressed in Brahmachari clothing, they attracted all people's eyes because of their effulgence, but no one could recognize them. When the people of Avanti saw Balaram, they recognized the highest light. But when they saw Krishna, they were puzzled whether it was light or darkness. Wherever Krishna went, Yashoda's affection found him, dark like a cloud. In those places, the hearts of people of the town and all beings in the forest melted. He will increase his beauty on the lap of some fortunate crest jewel among women. He will play, displaying his arts on the breasts of some woman. He was pleased to hear women speculate about him in this way, but he plugged his ears, afraid of developing a desire for them. Separated from their friends in order to hide their identity, they went to the assembly of Sandipani, who was blissful with all knowledge. The gathering began to speculate about the two boys. If these two are not equal to Kartikeya, capable of destroying all darkness, they must be a dark monsoon cloud and an autumn white cloud. We can compare them to the sun and the moon, but that comparison does not do them justice. One shines with black splendor and destroys the comparison completely. Wearing two pieces of silk cloth, kusha rings, sacred threads, grass belts made of murva, deerskin, and holding kadira staffs, Krishna and Balaram, endowed with auspicious natures, enter the assembly of the Guru as true brahmacharis endowed with kshatriya aura. Krishna and Balaram entered into the assembly of Sandipani resplendent with thousands of brahmanas, like the sun and moon, entering the sky with Jupiter, that is Guru, and all the stars. Seeing their symptoms of being kings, the members did not rise up. That seemed to be proper because in front of great persons, inferiors should not have elevated status. Though their bodies did not offer respect because of their pride as brahmanas, the beauty of the two boys becoming warm melted their hearts. Filled with strong devotion, displaying power as they held firewood in their hands and begging for knowledge, they impressed Sandipani, introducing themselves by their varna and gotra, calling themselves the white and the black. They offered respects with devotion. Offering respect, they said, "Possessor of all opulence, born of a great family, O crown jewel of brahmanas, ocean of knowledge endowed with the truth of Vedic Dharma, we surrender to your feet. Deliver us from suffering due to ignorance." Because they were incognito, they did not offer gifts, but they did offer a variety of pure forest fruits brought from a distance. On being questioned by the Guru, they replied in a disguised manner that they were the sons of a person of the Yadu dynasty famous as a gem, Vasu. Their cleverness made everyone also understand the truth from the secondary characteristics, since that cleverness of concealment produced the best results. Greeting them, Sandipani said, "Time for study is very rare. O dedicated students, I will keep you here for a long time to study." Sandipani continued, "Giving up your identity as Kshatriyas, you must first learn how to beg with the Brahmana students." Accepting the two and having them leave, the Guru then spoke to those present. "Seeing these boys, my heart develops affection, snigdha. I can clearly conclude that since birth they have lived with butter and other soft substances, snigdha, or in affectionate conditions, and thus internally and externally are oozing with affection. Though the white and black one are filled with affection, my intelligence concludes that the white one is the root. Surpassing all the marks of greatness mentioned in the scriptures describing auspicious bodily features, the white and black are worthy of worship. The effulgence of the white one bewilders my intelligence." When they all went for begging food, the two boys were actually the life maintenance of all. Since the two boys, in going with the others, needed nothing, the others begged and carried the food. But when the two begged, things reversed. When they begged, the householders gave just on seeing them. The two did not look at the young women donors as mothers, but the women, though in the prime of youth, looked at them with motherly affection. The two boys went begging to all the places with which the other students were acquainted. It was improper to go to other places. Since the two followed proper conduct, they joined the others in order to conceal what they had renounced and feigned ignorance of the places where the other boys accompanying them had previously approached for food. On the pretext of following the Guru's order, gaining respect daily, they would bring increasing amounts of begged food and other articles to the Guru. Distributing the begged goods with excitement, the Guru developed great attraction for the two boys. Attracted to them, he did not make them work since they were young and tender. But the two, with great devotion, engaged in excellent work when the Guru was not present. One day the Guru's wife asked, "O Master, among all your students, who are the most devoted?" He said, "The two Kshatriya sons." She said with a smile, "I do not see them serving you." He said, "Out of affection, I forbid them from serving. Visibly, they follow the order, but when no one is looking, they serve. I have observed this." One day, seeing unseasonable rain, the wife called some students to bring wood, excluding the two boys. "O sons, bring wood from somewhere." The students in fear said, "How can we go to the forest in the afternoon?" Krishna and Balaram heard this immediately with great devotion. They went off separately deep into the forest to find the best wood. Seeing them go, the others followed. When they entered the huge forest, heavy rain blocked all visibility. The other students could not join them when this happened, but Krishna and Balaram collected the best wood and, feeling successful, remained there. But since night was approaching, they could not return. But why describe further, since it will disturb the people abroad who were listening? After saying this, understanding the lamentation of the people abroad, the reciter paused for a moment and then continued speaking. "O brother Snigdhakanta, in the morning Sandipani became furiously angry. Castigating his wife, neglecting his mourning rites, he went to the forest. Though tired, the two boys, most attractive in their clothing, carrying the wood and showing devotion to the Guru, were joking with the other students about how they had spent the night. They became embarrassed, however, upon seeing their Guru, who had come there with difficulty through the dense growth of creepers, since their Guru had heard their joking words. Thus, they did not immediately take the wood back. Giving him happiness, the two bowed their heads to their Guru. He embraced them with affection and blessed them in his mind that they would have a revelation of all knowledge. He bathed them in a stream of tears. Quickly, the two kings of twice-born, full in all arts and sciences, graduated. But my life air aches because the Creator, known as the bestower of good and bad results to all, who is the friend, bestows what is desired in an appropriate way. That Creator, the life of his father and mother, whom Shukadev, though liberated, glorifies for their parental attachment to him, carried firewood to satisfy his Guru. Let that event be. Now we will continue the story. The Guru took the wood, put it on the heads of the other students, and returned home. Arranging the wood with his wife, he made the students study. The activities of the teacher, outstanding because of his fatherly attitude, purified all minds. Though there were hundreds of students with equal qualities, Krishna was attracted to Sridhama Sarma because he had the same name as his dear friend in Braj, just as he showed affection for Pandava Arjuna and for Sudama, the garland maker. Please consider one remarkable thing. In that group, Sridhama and others applied themselves to studies with Krishna and Balaram. But what can come of such efforts? There were many students who came to study under the Guru with Krishna and Balaram, but can the swans who think they are the most beautiful associate with Garuda? Living as brahmacharis, Krishna and Balaram, though in the introductory class, defeated all those well-versed in the Vedas and even those who had graduated. Studying only once, they learned all the Vedas and were praised by all others who had studied many times. In 64 days, the two boys mastered the 64 branches of knowledge, placing that knowledge in their hearts like pictures, since in their hearts lay the whole universe, which their Guru could not understand. It is well known that Krishna and Balaram learned from Sandipani, and Sandipani gave up many errors in knowledge because of them. I will describe the mental attitude of the two as they mastered all subjects. While staying in the Gurukul in the evening while lying in bed, Krishna would talk with Balaram about Braj. When I remember how he would continuously talk about Braj in his sleep, the lotus of my heart burns. O brother, in order to forget the topics of Braj, I am carefully recalling all the topics about the people of Mathura, but those topics make me remember Braja. Hearing the word mother, I think of Yashoda. Hearing the word father, I remember only Nanda and Braj. Hearing the word friend, I think only of my coward friends. What should I do? How should I pass my time? Mother is remembering me now. Father with a weak body getting up from bed is remembering me. They stay together in the house. Since his body is on fire, how can friends embrace him? Who desires to fall into that fire? What to speak of remembering my mother, father, and friends, remembrance of Braj burns my heart completely. With tears in his eyes, Balaram consoled him. O brother, giving up everything, I want to go there. Showing some restraint, you should conceal your feelings. When you remember them in order to gain consolation, you immediately forget everything else. For without going there, you see them. Krishna said, Haha, it is true, it is true. Seeing them as if in a dream, I experience them as reality. What can I do? The reciters said, embracing each other with tears in their eyes, they fell asleep. Nothing more need be said. He continued, O Nanda, whatever was seen as a spurti is seen directly now. You and Krishna are here in the assembly. After the reciter pleased all in the morning recitation, the Sakis and Radha felt nourished by attaining Krishna in the evening recitation. Madhukanta spoke, Krishna, the ocean of Anurag for the gopis on waking, began to consider. Oh, I see a dream like the rasa dance everywhere. This is not a dream, for my limbs are fragrant with the gopis' perfume. My brahmachari life is finished. This is not intentional. Therefore, I have no fault. Rather, they were delivered from the fire of separation. Actually, serving these gopis who are my life is not contrary to brahmachari life. Durvasa, revealer of the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, has revealed this. He said, He will be your husband. Concluding the evening topics of suitable subjects, Madhukanta said, O Radha, your life, Krishna, always thinks of you. If he goes for some other job and returns, do not find fault with him. Showing Krishna to Radha and making her happy, the two reciters as usual went to their residences with the others. Krishna stayed in the house of pastimes with Radha with great joy.